I know that in the Sunday school lesson this morning for the adults, Brother Leonard talked about how things in the Old Testament were a shadow of what was going to happen in the New Testament. They were sort of a picture or a preview. Many things in the Old Testament were a picture or a preview of what was going to come in the New. And many things in the Old Testament paint pictures of our Savior and what Jesus was going to do for us on Calvary's cross. The coats, for example, that God made in the Garden of Eden to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve after they'd eaten the forbidden fruit. Picture what Jesus was going to do as his blood was going to cover our sins. The ark that Noah built that was used to save his life and the life of his family was a picture of the ark of salvation that Jesus would be to us. The ram that was caught in the bush that Abraham went and sacrificed in place of his son Isaac was a picture of the substitutionary death that Christ would die for us to pay for our sins. The Passover lamb in the book of Exodus, that lamb that was killed and the blood drained into the basin and then put on the doorpost and the lintel of the door. That night that the death angel came through the land of Egypt. And if the blood wasn't on the door, the death angel went into each house and killed the firstborn. Of course, that lamb pictured our Passover lamb, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Even the manna, the bread that God sent from heaven, the bread that God used to feed his people for 40 years as they made their march through the wilderness to the promised land, paints a picture of Jesus. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that bread from heaven this morning. I've entitled my sermon, The Bread of Life. The bread of life. And just look at the picture that manna paints for us of everything that Christ did for us. When the nation of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, they did not bring with them a big harvest. I mean, they did not raid their fruit cellars and gather up all the produce and the vegetables and the different things that they had stored. As I read the Bible, when they came out of the land of Egypt, they brought enough food for the next meal. Talked about the dough that they had prepared and it hadn't had time to leaven. They had enough food for one meal as they came out of the land of Egypt. They got hungry as they came out of the land of Egypt. And we read in Exodus chapter 16 that when they got hungry, they started murmuring or complaining against Aaron and Moses. And it says in Exodus chapter 16 verse 3, this is the people talking, they said, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." And so they came to their leaders. They came to Moses and they came to Aaron and said, "Hey, we're starving to death. We sort of wish we would have stayed in Egypt, because in Egypt, not only did we have plenty of bread to eat and that filled us up, we also had meat. You brought us out here to kill the whole lot of us." Well, God heard their murmuring. He told Moses in verse 4 of Exodus chapter 16, he says, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." And it says in verse 12, "Ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God." He heard the complaining of the people, and he told Moses, he said, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. I am going to rain bread from heaven. And the people can go out and gather a certain amount every day, and they can eat, and they can be full, so that they can know that I am the Lord their God." Now, quickly, I want to point out to you four things about that bread that came from heaven as the Israelites made their way to the promised land. Four simple things about that bread. First of all, I would point out to you that bread from heaven made the difference between life and death. It made the difference between life and death. Because you see, the Israelites had nothing else to eat. Again, they did not bring out a big supply of food from Egypt. When they finally were released by Pharaoh, it was a hurry-up thing. I mean, the firstborn in every house had just died. And the Bible says that Pharaoh was urgent to get rid of the nation of Israel. And so he called Moses in the middle of the night and he said, "Gather up your people and get out of here." And they left in a hurry. And the only thing they had, the only thing that they had time to grab was the bread that they had prepared for the next meal. It wasn't even risen yet. So they took it. And again, they only had food for one meal as they started this journey to the promised land. And it wasn't that the route that they took wasn't through a land that was populated that had crops growing. For the most part, they were walking in the desert. They were walking in sand. There were not crops along the way that they could stop and harvest and make meals out of. And by the way, I don't need to remind you, there wasn't a Walmart or a VG's or any place like that that they could stop and buy food for their next meal. They had to have this bread from heaven or they would starve to death. They had to have this bread that God sent to them or every man, woman, boy, and girl would die from hunger. And so this manna, as the people called it, this bread from heaven made the difference between life and death. Number two, I'll point out to you that this bread from heaven was sent by God. It was sent by God. I mean, it wasn't given by Moses. It wasn't given by Aaron. The elders of the nation of Israel didn't conjure up this bread. I mean, it didn't come from them. It didn't come from any one of the tribes. It was provided. It was given. This bread from heaven was given by God. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna.'" That's what they called it. "For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat.'" Moses wanted them to understand that this bread wasn't coming from him. It was coming from God in heaven. It was a gift from their God so that they had plenty to eat each and every day. The third thing I'd point out to you, that there was enough manna to go around. There was enough for everybody. I mean, it wasn't just for the rich. It wasn't just for the good. It wasn't just for those that obeyed the law of God, nor was it for those that that went to the tabernacle to worship. Every morning when God sent this manna, every morning when this bread came from heaven, there was enough for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. No one was excluded. No one was left out. Moses did not have to set up a rationing system. He didn't have to say, "Hey, if your last name starts with A through M, you eat on Monday. And if it starts with N through Z, you eat on Tuesday. And then we'll go back to this group." Now, he didn't have to do that. There was plenty for every single person to have enough to eat to keep them alive. And the fourth thing I would remind you of this bread is that the people had to go get it. The people had to go get it. We read Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. God said, "I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day." God didn't force it on them. He didn't compel them to eat it. He made it available. He sent it every day, 6 days a week. He didn't send it on the Sabbath day. They got twice as much on Friday because the Sabbath was a day of rest. But he sent it, he made it available 6 days of the week, and there was enough for every person. And if they chose to do so, they could go out every morning, fill up their little buckets or fill up their baskets or whatever they gather it, and they could get enough to eat. They could get enough to keep them alive. And so the manna from heaven, sent by God, There was enough for everybody. It made the difference between life and death, but they had to go out and gather it. They had to go out and get it. Let's go to the New Testament. John chapter 6. A wonderful chapter. In John chapter 6, we read the story of Jesus teaching a large group of people, 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And after he got through teaching, he was worried that they were hungry. And so he asked his disciples how they were going to feed them. And one of them said, "Oh, it'd take a lot of money to feed this many people. Let's just send them home." And Jesus said, "Oh, no, we're not going to send them home without feeding them. Find out what we got." And Andrew, Peter's brother, found a little boy that had brought his lunch, 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes. And you know the story. Jesus took those 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes, and he fed every single person in the crowd that day. Every single person. 5,000 men, plus the women and the children. If it was a typical Baptist meeting, they probably had twice as many women and children as they did men. So there could have been 15,000 people on the hillside that day. And with 5 little pieces of bread and 2 little fish, Jesus fed the whole lot. I mean, it was like going to your favorite smorgasbord restaurant where you could get all that you can eat, because the Bible says every person got as much as they wanted. And not to be wasteful, Jesus said, "We're going to take up the leftovers." And the Bible says they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. After the people were fed and the leftovers were gathered, he tells the disciples to get into the boat and go home. They lived in Capernaum, most of them, and so they were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He said, "Get in the boat, head toward home. I'll send the people away." He sent the people away, and the Bible says he went up to a mountain to pray, as he did often. He got by himself and prayed. And as the disciples were crossing the sea, they ran into a storm. They ran into a storm. They were rowing hard, the Bible says, but they weren't making any headway. And they see what they thought was a ghost that was walking on the water toward them. And the Bible says they were afraid. And Jesus said, "Hey, don't be afraid. Fear not. It's me." And the Bible says that he got into the boat with them. This was the same time. It's not recorded here in the book of John, but in the book of Matthew, this was the time where Peter said, "Lord, if it's really you, let me walk on the water towards you." And Jesus said, "Well, come on." And you know, again, Peter started walking on the water. And as he got out in the middle of the storm and saw the waves and felt the wind and the sea was hitting him in the face, he took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, help me." And Jesus said, "Where's your faith?" And he lifted him up. But that was the same time. And so Jesus got into the boat with the disciples, and the Bible says they were immediately at the place where they were going. They got to their destination. And again, I've read that, and I don't know if it's a miracle. I don't know if they were immediately there, or if the last half of the trip was so pleasurable with Jesus in the boat that they didn't notice how long it took. But they got to their destination. The next day, the folks that Jesus had fed yesterday caught up with him. And he began to talk to them, and they began to talk to him, and they asked him a question. It's in verse 28. We didn't read it, but they asked him a question. And they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" What a wonderful question. What might we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? I mean, I hope every single person here that this is a desire of your heart. That you want to work the works of God. That you want to be his partner in doing the work that God does in this earth. And so they asked Jesus that question. It was a good question. And the answer that Jesus gave them was very simple and very straightforward. He said in verse 29, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he hath sent." You want to do the works of God? Then you believe on him whom he hath sent. You believe on me. That's what he was saying, because he was the one that God sent. You want to do the works of God? It starts with believing on me. And as Jesus gave them that answer, the people wanted more. And so they said in verse 30, "We need to see a sign. We need for you to show us something that we may believe thee, that you really are the one sent from God. And Jesus said, I am the sign. You don't need another sign. I am the sign. I am the bread of God which came down from heaven. He said there in verse 35, I am the bread of life. And in this discussion, he went back, and the people did. They said, hey, when we were in the wilderness, it's written that he gave us bread from heaven. And Jesus said, well, Moses didn't give you that bread. My Father gave you that bread. And I am the bread from heaven. I am the bread of life. And what Jesus was saying was, I am just like the manna. I am just like the manna that your fathers ate in the wilderness. He said, I am the difference between life and death. You see, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, separation from God. And Jesus is the only one that can give life. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He told the disciples in John chapter 14, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And just like the manna in the wilderness that God gave his people as they made their way to the promised land, just like that manna was the difference between life and death, just like that manna made the difference between where a person was going to stay alive or die from starvation, Jesus is the difference between life and death. He makes the difference. He's the only way that you can have life. Life. Jesus said, I'm just like the manna. I'm the only one that makes the difference between life and death. And he said, just like the manna, I was given by God. I was given by God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I saw a little sign, church sign, on my way to church the other day. It had to do with Valentine's Day, and it was talking about love. And it says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And God loved us so much. And again, that little word so is in there because it would take a whole book to describe how much God loves us, and it still wouldn't do justice. Still wouldn't do justice. And so when the Bible tries to describe something that it has a hard time describing, it uses that little word so. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You listen to me, no man can give you life. No family can give you life. No government can give you life. No church can give you life. Life comes only from God, and it comes in the form of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread from heaven. He says, I'm just like the manna. I make the difference between life and death. I was sent by God. And he says, I'm just like a man, just like the manna. There's enough of me to go around so everybody can have some. It's not just the rich. It's not just the good. It's not just the obedient. It's not just those that come from a Christian home. Jesus says, there's enough of me to go around. There's enough of me for everybody to have some. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. No one's excluded. No one is left out. It doesn't have to be rationed. There's enough of Christ to give life to every person. And I know I've mentioned this the last couple of weeks, but I just can't get this thought out of my mind and out of my heart. Every person in hell this morning that's suffering in the bottomless pit, in the flame that doesn't go out, where the worm dieth not, Jesus loved them enough and he paid the price for their sin. He paid the price for the sin of every single person. There's enough of him to go around. Nobody's excluded. We sing that song sometimes. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. And there is for you this morning. There is for you. There's enough of the love of God. There's enough of the sacrifice that Jesus paid on Calvary. There's enough for you to get saved. There's enough for you to get eternal life. There's enough for you to avoid the fires of hell and get a home of heaven. There's enough for you. And there's enough for me. There's enough for every single person. Nobody's left out. Nobody's excluded. Jesus was saying, I'm just like the manna. I'm just like the man. I make the difference between life and death. I was given by God, and there's enough for everybody. But he says, I'm just like the manna. You got to go and take it. You got to go and take it. Just like God did not force the manna on his people, he does not force Christ on us. Just like he did not compel the Israelites to eat that bread from heaven, he does not compel us to partake of the bread of life. He makes Christ and the life that he gives available to every person. But it's up to us to take it. In the book of Romans chapter 10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then it says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. God gave that manna. You know, a lot of times I try to picture in my mind things that happen in Bible accounts that I read. And I've pictured in my mind several times this week, dads, moms, teenagers, even little children that would go out early in the morning. They have a little bucket, maybe like some of the buckets that Brother Clint showed us on Thursday night. But they'd have a little bucket or a little basket, or maybe some moms had their aprons that they held up, and they would go and they would gather that little piece of manna. They didn't know what it was. That little piece of bread that came from heaven. And they would take it home and they would partake of it that day. That day. You see, you couldn't save it, because if you saved it, other than on Friday, it rotted and bred worms. And so you only gathered enough for that day. And then the next day, they went out again. And the next day, they went out again. And the next day, they went out again. And for almost 40 years, 6 days a week, every morning, moms and dads, teenagers, little boys, little girls, they would go out and they would gather that bread that would keep them alive for another day. Another day. There are people here this morning. You need to get your little basket out. You need to get your little bucket out. And you need to come to the bread that came from heaven. You need to come to the bread of life and take it. Jesus did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You're not going to get life any other way. You can't be good enough to earn it. You can't get baptized enough to deserve it. You can't take the Lord's Supper enough to justify God forgiving your sins. Jesus is the only one that makes the difference between life and death. He said, if you come to me, you'll never hunger again. You see, if you're depending on something in the world to make you right with God, you still have a hunger in your soul. The things of the world cannot satisfy that hunger. Only the bread from heaven. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never thirst again. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning that has a hunger in their soul and a thirst in their soul, and you haven't been able to find anything to satisfy it. I'll tell you what you need this morning. You need the bread from heaven. You need the bread of life. There's enough for you. Enough for you. Don't let anybody tell you there's not enough for you. Some people are trying to say there's not enough to go around. I want to tell you something this morning. There's enough for everybody. There's enough for you. You just need to come and take it. Come and take it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the pictures that you give us in the Old Testament that give us a preview of the new, of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. And I pray this morning for those that are here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. I pray, Father, that they would see that the things of the world doesn't satisfy, that only Jesus does. I pray they would see their sin. They would see the Savior this morning as he died for them. And they would come and they'd take that bread that came from heaven. They would come and take the bread of life. Father, I pray, make that so. Every single person here that's never asked Christ, help them in just a second to get up, leave their seat, walk down the aisle, and let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Father, I'd love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when we get to heaven, in those scenes of glory, the new song that we'll sing will be this old, old story of Jesus and his love. Draw us closer to our Savior this morning because we've been reminded how much he loves us. Just bless this invitation. If there's somebody here that needs to come for baptism, help them to do that. If there's somebody here that you're leading to join the church, I pray you'd help them to come. Father, just accomplish in this time what you know needs to be accomplished, and we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.